Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd on this glorious Sabbath day that we know as Palm Sunday. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to your time with us. Friends, this is indeed Palm Sunday, that Sunday when Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. It's the time when the people were shouting Hosanna. They felt that indeed they had hope because the king that they had longed for was arriving, someone that was giving them great hope. But of course, as we know, during the course of this coming week, the crowds will turn on Jesus, and soon they will be calling for his crucifixion. And that's why next Sunday we will be celebrating Easter Sunday, the Sunday when we do indeed celebrate his resurrection from the dead. It is a glorious time in our Christian faith this week, a time when we reflect on all that Jesus went through during that very eventful week. But today is Palm Sunday, and so we do indeed celebrate his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and all that that means to us. So as we prepare now to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for giving us the courage to have faith. We thank you for the knowledge of what it means this Sunday, Palm Sunday, the coming week, which is Holy Week, when we indeed are faced with Good Friday and the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. But then we celebrate next Sunday the great resurrection and all that that means to us and our lives of faith. But today, as we hear the words that the crowds were shouting and we come to understand what it means on Palm Sunday, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds. Help us, Lord, to understand. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning is the account of Palm Sunday coming from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Jesus had just been telling a parable to the crowds that were gathered, and it was the parable of the 10 minas. And so now he's preparing to move on ahead and go into Jerusalem. And so, beginning with verse 28, hear now the word of the Lord. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, the people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees and the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. This is the word of the Lord. Well, this is Palm Sunday, that glorious time of praise and adoration that begins Holy Week. Palm Sunday is a good day, a great day. It enters us into a week of tumultuous emotions, a week where we come to understand in dramatic terms how much we love Jesus Christ, our Lord, and how much God's Messiah has touched our lives in ways that only the Son of God could do. We look ahead at this week to come. We will ponder and meditate and pray as we take the incredible story of Jesus' mission on earth to heart. We will remember once again the character of Christ and what he must have been going through. We will remember his utter humility as he washed the feet of his disciples, an act that was relegated to servants. But yes, Jesus, the Son of God, washed the feet of those he had called to follow him. He will remember his Last Supper with those he loved so dearly, giving them the charge to remember him each time they ate the bread and drank from the cup that symbolized the new covenant he had brought by grace. He prepared them to carry on, even though they still couldn't understand. We will remember his prayer to God the Father, where he poured out his heart, but yet courageously prayed for God's will to be done. He prayed that he would be glorified, and then he prayed for his disciples, and then for all who believe in him, both present and future. He prayed that all of us would be one, united by the grace of God. We will remember how he was betrayed by one of his own disciples. Yes, for pocket change, Judas Iscariot betrayed the one who had called him with love, and we will feel the emotions of sorrow as we remember that scene this week. We will remember Jesus being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, arrested on charges that were false and completely unfair and unjust. But the false claims against our Lord had to occur so God's plan to save us could move forward. We will remember that during his arrest, Simon Peter, the disciple who had pledged utter loyalty to Jesus, would deny knowing him three times. Peter was overcome by fear for his own life, and when he realized what he had done, he wept. On Friday of this week, we will remember the heinous and repulsive death that our Lord Jesus suffered on a cross. We will weep as we understand that he suffered that agony and pain so that we might be redeemed and that we will be spared from eternal separation from God. And next Sunday, yes, on Easter Sunday, we will sing Christ the Lord is risen today, and we will remember God's promise that we will share in Jesus' resurrection. What a day that will be. Our joy will be complete, and we will bow in humility to a risen and living Christ who loves us unconditionally. So what a week ahead. What an awesome season in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. And what a time for us to reflect on our own relationship with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today, on this Palm Sunday, we begin this autumn week by remembering what Jesus did 2,000 years ago as he made his way to Jerusalem to fulfill God's plan as foretold by the prophets. The Messiah was on the move. Today's scripture passage picks up about halfway through chapter 19 of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is about to make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, with palms paving the way for a king. But first, let's be reminded of how chapter 19 begins. It is fitting to understand that Jesus' triumphal arrival in the city of his death was immediately preceded by his conversion of yet another sinner. And how fitting is that? You see, Jesus' life was about converting sinners. His life was about giving us the means to be rid of sin and to be in love with God. And so, while the Messiah was on the move toward Jerusalem, he made a stop in Jericho. It says here, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Zacchaeus was a greedy sinner until he had the Messiah as a house guest. Little did he know that what was about to happen. But his life was forever changed because Jesus stopped by. It is a story that should resonate with all of us. Until Jesus stops by, we have little motivation to change, but yet we have everything to gain. Jesus was scorned for being the guest of a sinner, but of course, he didn't care. That was his purpose, to be the guest of all sinners, and it was just another stop on the road to Jerusalem. From Jericho to Jerusalem was only 12 miles, and now Jesus had almost reached his goal. Jerusalem, his journey's end, lay just ahead. Jesus was about to fulfill prophecy from the prophets of old. He was about to reveal to the world that he is the true, long-awaited Messiah. Yes, indeed, even in the prophet of Zechariah, we know that Zechariah told that he would be riding on a donkey. And there it is, the description of the Messiah's triumphal entry. It was no wonder, then, that Jesus planned such a dramatic ride on a donkey. He was finally revealing with boldness his true identity. It was time. The cross was only days away, and he had to be sure that he had revealed the truth. He proposed to ride into Jerusalem in such a way that the very action would be an unmistakable claim to be the Messiah, God's anointed king. It was carefully planned. It was no sudden, impulsive action. It was an act of glorious defiance and courage. By this time, there was a price on Jesus' head, and it would have been natural for him to avoid Jerusalem, or at least to slip in under the cover of darkness. But as we know, on this glorious day, that didn't happen. Be reminded from the passage that we just read, from verses 37 and 38, where it says, "When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And does this sound eerily similar to the description of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem when the angel of the Lord appeared? Listen to the account of Jesus' birth from Luke 2, verses 10 through 14. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" Yes, we have bookends at his birth, and as he is approaching the cross, there are voices singing praises of glory to God for bringing the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. And we have a clash of kingdoms: Caesar or Christ. Caesar's kingdom is based on domination and ruthless power, the kind of kingship Jesus refused when tempted in the wilderness. The kingdom of God that Jesus preached is based on justice, peace, mercy, and the love and grace of God. On this particular day, as Jesus was approaching Jerusalem on the donkey, with garments and palm branches spread out to greet him as a king, the throng of followers could not contain themselves. "Here comes the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, with no great prancing stallion surrounded by an army. No, here comes Jesus on a donkey, just as the prophets foretold, speaking kindly to the people who walk alongside. They are singing, 'Hosanna!' He is approachable. He is not divided from them. He does not claim to be their superior, but rather their servant." The throngs shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And our scripture says, some Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Yes, tell them to control themselves. Tell them to be quiet. But Jesus replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." The Greek phrase is lithos kradzo. It is an imperative phrase in Greek grammar, meaning it is said with force and certainty. If others are silent, then the stones will cry out. This time of Jesus' arrival has been prophesied for centuries. This very moment is meant to happen, and there is nothing the Pharisees, Caesar, Satan, or any armies can do to stop it. It is God's plan to redeem the world, and the Messiah is on the move. Jesus is saying that this time of triumphal entry into Jerusalem must and will happen because God has determined it so. If the throngs of people were to be quiet, then the stones will cry out, because this time of ultimate significance in the history of humankind must be announced and celebrated. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Amen. Friends, this morning Alan Vest has prepared a special song for us, very special and appropriate for Palm Sunday. This is simply called The Palms. So here, arranged and performed by Alan Vest, is The Palms.
With acclamation, Hosanna, praise to the Lord. Bless him who cometh to bring us salvation. By its might, once more regain freedom from degradation. Humanity doth live to teach his right, while those in darkness find restored the light. Sure. His name declare. Let every voice resound with acclamation. Hosanna! Praise to the Lord. Bless Him who cometh to bring us salvation. Of all thy sons, sing the emancipation. Through boundless love, the Christ of Bethlehem brings hope and faith to thee forevermore. Join all and say, His name declare. Let every voice resound with acclamation. Hosanna! Praise to the Lord. Bless Him who cometh to bring us salvation. Join all and sing, His name declare. Let every voice resound with acclamation. Hosanna! Praise to the Lord. Bless Him who cometh to bring us salvation. To bring us salvation. To bring us salvation.
Our thanks to Alan for that great song. What a beautiful song for Palm Sunday. Well, friends, we have quite a week ahead. Indeed, we have so much to reflect on. Just remember, this is Holy Week, and it's called that for a very specific reason. For those of us who long to be in relationship with God, who seek His holiness in our lives. This is a very special week when we remember the suffering, the death, and then the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is during this week that He will gather with His disciples for one last supper. He will wash their feet, and He will tell them that He must die in order for us to have salvation. But yes, we do have next Sunday to look forward to, because we know that His death was only temporary, but His resurrection is eternal. As it said in our scripture passage this morning, some of the Pharisees in the crowd told Jesus to rebuke His disciples, to tell them to be quiet, But Jesus said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Yes, somebody was going to cry out, something was going to cry out, because this is an event that cannot be ignored. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.